Well, everybody, welcome to episode 226 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, we're going to talk some Ankeny Centennial softball today, and I'm also going to have a guest from Coldwell Banker on. But right now, my first guest is a senior-to-be on the Ankeny Boys Swimming Team, and he has just announced his verbal commitment to join the Xavier University Men's Swimming and Diving Program in 2024. He's a three-time All-American and an 11-time state place winner for the Hawks heading into his final high school season. He's Owen Schwabach. Owen, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me today.
You bet. Well, congratulations on your commitment. Is it a relief to get your decision out of the way?
It's definitely different that now I don't have to think about that, keep scheduling all these calls, but it's really just been an awesome process, and I'm super lucky to be joining the Xavier men's team. I'm stoked.
Well, Xavier, for those of you who don't know, is located in the city of Cincinnati. Now, I've got some family out in Ohio, and I think we drove by it one time when we were going to a Reds game. Isn't the campus located fairly close to downtown?
It is. It's about like a 10-minute drive, and I just fell in love with campus when I stepped on it. It was beautiful. There's all these nice like stone like walkways and stuff between all the buildings, and it was just a great place to be for my second visit.
Well, you told me that you picked Xavier over the University of Denver and Lindenwood University for a variety of factors. You mentioned the size of the campus, the team atmosphere, and the support for athletes. You said you also liked their sports management and business analytic major, and that certainly piqued my interest. What are you looking to do with that major? Do you eventually want to get into like sports administration or something?
Well, kind of. That's the major I've been thinking about right now. My mind bounces all over the place of what I'd like to major in, but my host was a business analytics major, and he said that just in case I wanted to broaden out from sports management, since that's pretty specified and oftentimes those positions aren't as often as open as often, but the business analytics kind of gets outside of that, and I like to see the numbers and stuff. Like, I've recently gotten to basketball and watching the NBA a lot, and that's really cool to see how all the numbers fit into like the game that's being played, and I feel like I'd like to apply that to either swimming and other sports as well.
Yeah, it's just crazy how you can apply analytics to almost anything anymore,
exactly,
can't you?
Yeah.
Well, as far as swimming goes, was it important for you to compete at the highest level that you possibly could? You know, I assume since you're looking at Lindenwood, which is an FCS school, that, you know, maybe you weren't totally convinced that that was what you had to do, or, you know, what was your thinking there?
Yeah, Lindenwood just moved to D1 this past year. This was their first season, but I think that that's definitely the kind of level I'd like to be at. I'm used to competing with the best of the best, and that's what I wanted to do going into the next 4 years, you know, swimming as fast as I can with the fastest people around.
Well, I see Xavier play second in the Big East Championships this year, and they're
No diving.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And their senior Andrew Martin was named the most outstanding swimmer, so they have a pretty successful program, don't they?
Yes, they do. He went crazy senior year. He has like the 50 through the mile team records.
Oh, wow. Well, I was looking at their men's roster, and they already have athletes from 12 different states, but you will become the first Iowan on the roster. You know, so how did they happen to learn about you? How did their recruitment of you begin?
I'd give a shout to my dad. He's the one who pointed me in the direction of Xavier. He sent me the stuff to look at, and I'm like, this is a pretty cool place. I had my first call with the assistant coach, Lindsay Neergath, and she said, well, let's have you out on a visit. So it was kind of just that first connection, just getting it started, and here we are.
Well, it helps to be proactive sometimes, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Well, you told me after your visit that Xavier was your clear first choice. You know, I've had a lot of athletes tell me over the years that they just knew when the school was right for them. Was that kind of the reaction that you had?
It definitely was. I had a blast on my visit, kind of a snafu getting there with some canceled flights, but in the end, they proved it was the place to be.
Well, you know, you told me that you weren't sure which events you'll be focusing on yet, but that your 100 butterfly time would be competitive right now in the Big East Conference. Of course, last year you placed fourth in that event at the state meet with a time of 49.99 seconds. How big was that for you to break through that 50-second barrier in the butterfly?
Oh, that was one of the best races I've ever had. Like, just with the district meet prior and just being able to go out there and have some fun and swim my fastest and just break that 50, which I've been trying to do for, it's been my goal at the top of my mind for a couple of years. It was ecstatic. I was ecstatic afterward, to say the least.
Well, you helped the Hawks to a fourth-place finish overall in Coach Justin Crouch's final season. Now, were you surprised at all when Justin announced his resignation from his position?
Not 50-50. We could kind of feel that there was some stuff going on in his personal life that he needed to take care of, but we, of course, understand him stepping back, and he's recently started coaching with a club program, so he's still going to be in the community.
Well, Justin has been replaced by Dustin Rhodes, who was an assistant on Ankeny's state championship team in 2019 before spending the last 3 years at Luther College. So Coach Rhodes would have been here before you joined the varsity. So do you know him very well at all? And what do you think of the school hiring him to be the head coach? Are you excited?
I'm very excited. I was part of the athlete panel that got to interview him for his position, and he recently stopped over at Trail Point with Justin to take a little peruse of the facilities and stuff. But I've also been texting with him for a while now, and he seems like a really awesome guy, and we're all really excited to have him.
One other change that you'll have to deal with this year is the fact that your former teammate Lance Swanepoel will no longer be around. Of course, he's won the last two state titles in the butterfly and was named the state's athlete of the year, and you guys obviously did a lot of training together over the years. What have you learned from competing against him, and how much are you going to miss him now that he's headed off to Wisconsin?
I think his mental game just impacted all of us, just to always go, especially with every race he's ready to go, always trying to get off the block first, and if you're not going in with a winning mentality, you've already lost. So we're all going to take away some of that mental stuff from him, and then working the fine details. Lance would pretty often take a guy aside at the end of practice, work on his start. So I think we can all just aspire to be kind of the leader that he was.
Well, as a freshman in 2021, you swam on the state champion 200 freestyle relay that earned All-American honors. That was Ankeny's first state title in a relay event. Now, heading into your final season, I'm sure one of your goals is to be a state champion. I think Lance even told me that he expects you to follow in his footsteps as the butterfly state champ. Is that one of your goals?
It is. That relay still gives me goosebumps every time someone mentions it, but my goal this year in the butterfly is just to be as fast as possible. Like, there are some guys out there that I'll be competing with, but I'll be able to see them multiple times throughout the season to see where I'm at.
Well, I'm sure you also have some high hopes in the 50 freestyle. You took sixth in that event as a sophomore, and I'm sure you're expecting to place high in that event again last season, but unfortunately you were DQ'd at the district meet. That did allow you to swim in three relays at the state meet instead of two, but that was, you know, still a tough situation for you. But was that a good learning experience for you, though?
It definitely was. I keep reading that, like, failure is the best opportunity to grow, and that just showed me, like, that the 50, it wasn't everything. Like, swimming two individuals in two relays isn't everything. Being able to support for your team on three relays was really fun. But I'm really looking forward to getting back to swim in the 50, hope maybe again this year. We'll see.
Well, Owen, before I let you go, I just had one other question for you. I saw that Nick Jarosh Fitness posted something on Facebook about your commitment, and Nick is one of our most loyal sponsors here at Ankeny Fanatics, so I wanted to give you the chance to plug his business a little bit. So what kind of workouts do you do over at his facility, and how helpful have they been, you know, to your development?
As you mentioned, Nick brings a smile to my face. He's an awesome guy, an awesome trainer. We do a lot of one-step explosive starts, lots of shoulders and stuff in the water. He says he can't exactly, of course you can't exactly replicate what we do in the water, being in the water as opposed to being on land. But our main focus is like getting off the blocks and your turns quickly and really working the abs and shoulders. And it's just a fun environment where we joke around, have fun, but we always work hard.
Yeah, Nick's a great guy. We certainly appreciate his support over here. Well, hey, Owen, thanks a lot for coming in today. I appreciate it, and good luck this season.
Thank you, Dan.
You bet. All right, well, my next guest is a realtor at Coldwell Banker, and he has been on the podcast numerous times. He is Andy Logan. Andy, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Hey, doing great, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, did you have a good Fourth? Did you have anything special?
You know what? No, we're actually planning on a wedding this next weekend for my niece, so just a lot of prep work.
Gotcha. Well, the last time I saw, I think, was 3 weeks ago at the Ankeny Historical event that featured Kent Stock, and you were working the food truck that night. You were hobbling around in your cast or your boot or whatever, so you doing okay now?
Absolutely. All getting all healed up, so that was a fun event. Love helping my brother with his truck.
Yeah, it was a fun night. Well, we're getting old, man. If it's not one thing, it's another, isn't it?
Absolutely.
We mentioned that you got the wedding coming up, and we're not quite as old as me, but this Friday I'm having my 40-year Ankeny High School class reunion. That just doesn't seem possible.
I understand we had our 30-year a year ago, so...
Well, hey, what's new in the real estate business? You've been keeping busy this summer?
You know what? It has been a pretty busy summer. Rates are starting to stabilize a little bit and coming back down to more favorable numbers. So seeing a little bit more resale on the market, and prices have improved a little. So, yeah, market's strong still.
Where are the rates at these days?
You know, I would say anywhere between probably six and a third to 6.75 right now. Every once in a while, pop up around 7, but then fall right back down.
Well, I know you and some of the other realtors had been telling me that really the high rates that we had there for a while weren't really scaring people off anyway, were they?
No, they weren't. You know, when the resale market was so slow that when we finally got houses on, people were still there to buy. So,
well, you mentioned that there's a lot of homes for resale. You know, what does the inventory in Ankeny look like now? I know for a while there, especially like during COVID, there wasn't much inventory, but is there more now?
You know, I think it was last week for the first time there were actually more resale homes on the market than new construction, and that's the first time in numerous years. So,
oh, wow.
So, yeah, there's a great opportunity out there for people to buy.
Were there any particular developments that you want to plug today?
Absolutely. Our Centennial Estates with MJ Properties on Northwest 29th Street. We're actually down to our final two units. Started there with 15 about a year and a half ago and down to our final two. So if you have interest, get out there and look.
For sure. Well, if anybody's interested, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Absolutely. You can give me a call at 515-979-4494 or at andy.logan@cbdsm.com.
All right. Andy, well, hey, thanks a lot again for coming in today. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
You bet. All right, listen to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. MJ Properties is also a sponsor of the podcast, and MJ Properties is now the title sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic as well. And like Andy just mentioned, if you're interested in the properties out there at Centennial Estates, you can give them a call. But I just wanted to give a plug to MJ Properties. We certainly appreciate their support of Ankeny Fanatic as well. All right, well, my next guest is the head coach of the top-ranked Ankeny Centennial softball team, and he has guided the Jaguars to a 31-5 record. He is Brett Delaney. Coach, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Hey, thanks for having us here today. Doing well.
You bet. Well, congratulations on a great season thus far. This team has been so consistently good all season. That's why you guys have been ranked number one for a while now. I know you still have some more work to do and some more goals to accomplish, you know, but at this point, you have to be really happy with how the girls, you know, have answered every challenge.
Yeah, you know, as a program, they've been putting in the work all offseason. It started in the fall when most of them were playing together, and with that Jags Elite program in the fall, and it transitioned into our off-season workouts starting in January with pitchers and catchers, some open gyms, and then continued into the spring where they were able to play a spring league together. It was kind of an interesting spring weather-wise, but then they continued playing together, and then it's kind of carried over into the season, and it's just a group that's really connected, both on the field and off the field, so we're very fortunate for all that.
Well, your team won the CIML conference title with a 14-2 record, and there isn't much doubt that you guys play in the toughest conference in the state. Five of the top six teams in Class 5A are from your conference, so you have to feel like this team has already been tested as you get ready to embark on the postseason.
Yeah, you know, we're very fortunate for the opportunity to play in the CIML. You're playing against the best of the best for 16 games of the season, and it's just an opportunity every night to continue to get better, and there's going to be some nights where someone might get us, and like we've talked about all season, those are just opportunities to grow and to become tighter as a group and learn from what we need to get better on and to help with this postseason run that's ahead of us.
Well, I think one of the most impressive things about this team is that you have never lost back-to-back games. Each time you have lost, you have rebounded with a run rule victory in your very next game. Most recently, you guys dropped a 9-8 decision at number 5 Southeast Polk in 11 innings in the first game of a doubleheader on Thursday, but then you immediately turned around and you rolled to a 20-4 win in 4 innings in the nightcap, and that was your biggest offensive explosion of the season. It just seems like this team, you know, is just always able to bounce back, that they learn from a loss, and they don't get down about a loss.
Yeah, you know, that game against Southeast Polk was a tough one. I think it was our second extra inning game of the week. It was one where we knew we were going to have to come in, and we had a lead, and the opportunity slipped away from us against a really good Southeast Polk team. And we challenged the girls in the outfield after the game. It's just we've come here not to get swept, and finding a way as a group to rally and make sure that we come out with a sweep, and they come out with the offensive explosion, and it's just something where we have confidence in our girls, and it was just like we said, an opportunity to grow and learn and get better, and at the end of the day is opportunity to get that split with Southeast Polk.
Well, your team ranks 10th in the entire state with 32 home runs after hitting just 10 homers all of last season. Freshman Jordan Kennedy leads the way with 10 home runs all by herself. Mackenzie James has 7, and Sydney Morris and Maddie Ott each has 5. Now, I don't think too many people are surprised by what Jordan has done, because she just has so much power. But I don't know if anyone, you know, saw Mackenzie's power surge coming this season. You probably didn't expect your leadoff hitter to have 7 home runs at this point, did you?
You know, Mackenzie's always been one of our top players in our program, and Simpson's a very fortunate opportunity to get her next season. And you know, all of our girls have put in the work all off season. I think it was their dedication to the weight room and their opportunities to grow when they're getting in their cage time on their own time and in that off season. And, you know, Mac is someone that put in that work, and her time's come, and we're very fortunate to have her the last 4 years. And I know she'll be greatly missed after the season. But yeah, it was something where you're not prepared for your leadoff hitter to have 7 home runs, but you're also not going to take anything away from all the hard work that she's put in and continued to grind and been that all-conference, all-state player that she is.
Well, your team also boasts a deep and talented pitching staff. Eighth grader Lauren Sandholm has led the way with a 13-1 record and a 1.14 ERA. Seniors Lauren Gustafson and Jaden Stair are 8-2 and 6-2, respectively. Now, it's not very often that an eighth grader can step in and contribute the way that Sandholm has. You know, she's a pretty special talent, isn't she?
Yeah, she is a special talent. I think all of our pitchers in our program are pretty special, and that's just made us what we are as a team. We face the best pitching staff in the state day in and day out, and they continue to challenge our hitters. And Lauren's just one of those pitchers that comes around and wants to compete and always wants the ball in her hand. And the opportunity has been given to her, and she's taken advantage of those opportunities. But no matter who we would have in the circle right there, we would have confidence in all of them. And we're just fortunate for Lauren and the hard work that she's put in now. And just the sky is the future for her. And I know these seniors have led her and showed her the right direction. And she's been helped along by a senior catcher in Sydney Morris and a junior catcher in Addie Starr along this way. And so we're very fortunate for them to be leading our pitchers as well on this journey that we've had ahead of us.
Well, Coach, congratulations on being honored recently for your 100th win. You took over the program in 2019. And if my math is right, I think you actually reached 100 wins toward the end of last season. You know, but regardless, that's a nice milestone to reach. Your team set a school record with 33 victories 2 years ago. And this year's team obviously has a chance to surpass that. If you can win these next two games and qualify for state, you'll tie the record. And then you would just need to win one more game at state to set a new record. You know, I'm sure your goal, though, is to win 5 more games, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, we set out at the beginning of every season to win all 5 of those postseason games. And ideally, that means you're getting to 45 games. We won't quite get to that because of not getting enough regular season games this season. But yeah, it's the goal ahead of us is 5 games, but it's one game at a time, one opportunity at a time that's ahead of us. And I'm just very thankful for all the past players, all the past coaches, all the support from the fans, from the parents, to give the opportunity for the girls to reach so many wins in the last 4 years, 5 years. And it's just something that I'm so grateful and so honored to have the opportunity to lead this program. And, you know, there's some special talent still coming up in our younger ranks, and it's very, very grateful opportunity.
Well, let's talk about your postseason path a little bit. You guys are the number one seed in Region 4, and you'll host a semifinal on Saturday against either Des Moines East or Des Moines North. And I know East has traditionally been a very strong program, but they're just 10-28 this season, and North has struggled even more. They're winless. So do you know much about either of those teams?
Yeah, we've had a couple opportunities to get out and watch them, and we've got our scouting report on them. And it's everybody's 0-0 come Saturday, and they'll have a game underneath them this postseason. But yeah, it's just another opportunity. We're very thankful that we've had some people able to break away from their schedules with their families to go out and assist with our scouting. And I've had an opportunity to go watch them myself and just to get some eyes on them. They're a really good high school softball team, both of those teams. So it'll just be an opportunity whoever shows up on Saturday.
Well, with a win, you would host either Ames or Waterloo West in the regional final on Tuesday. Now, you guys haven't played Ames this season, but you did win 3 of 4 meetings against the Little Cyclones last year when you were part of the same conference. And this year, you guys did travel to Waterloo West on June 9th, and you swept the doubleheader against the Wahawks by scores of 9-4 and 10-0. So who do you expect to emerge from the other side of the bracket?
You know, that's an interesting game. It's one that could go either way. We actually had the opportunity to scrimmage Ames early in May. They were without 3 of their track girls on that night, but our girls came out and competed on that day. So we saw them. It's been a long time. Both teams have gotten better since then. You know, it's really tough to say who's going to come about from that game. So.
All right. Well, if you guys are able to make it to state, I wouldn't be surprised if you're joined by multiple teams from your conference. Waukee Northwest is the defending state champion, and they are a number one seed in their region, along with Ankeny, Valley, and Southeast Polk. You know, so it could end up being kind of like a mini conference tournament, couldn't it?
Yeah, you know, like we talked about earlier in this conversation, the CIML is the best in the state, and it, I think we said six of the top 10 teams are from our conference. And, you know, it'd just be a special opportunity for all of us to get up there and to figure out in those one-game settings who's going to come about from that. So just opportunities that are going to present itself over the next couple weeks, and we'll just kind of see how the journey takes us.
Well, of course, you guys are trying to make it to state for the third time in 4 years. Your team placed third in 2020 and then placed second in 2021. And you've got several seniors on this year's team who are members of those squads. Do you think you guys can lean on some of those experiences that you had in those two seasons to maybe help you to win the title this year?
Yeah, you know, we have girls with a lot of experience that have been up in Fort Dodge, and over the course of the next week or so, just relying on them to share their stories with our girls that haven't been there and the girls that haven't been in a postseason dugout. The energy is different. The atmosphere is different, and it's that one game setting. So we started the process here earlier today with a nice practice, and then continuing on sharing those stories and those experiences. So everybody's prepared for Saturday and what's going to entail with that opportunity.
Well, it should be a fun tournament trail. I'm looking forward to it. Good luck, Coach.
Hey, thank you so much.
Yep. All right, well, my final guest today is a senior catcher for the Jaguars. She is batting .423 with 5 home runs, 10 doubles, and 41 RBIs. She's among the team leaders in all of those categories. She is Sydney Moore. Sydney, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, congrats on a great season thus far. You've certainly been a big reason for the team's success. Have you been happy with the way that you've played?
Yeah, I've been pretty happy. I've been trying to do my best for my senior season, and it's going good so far.
We certainly started out with a bang. You hit to all 5 of your home runs in the first 9 games as the team got off to an 8-1 start. Do you think the fast start was a result of all the hard work that you and your teammates put in during the offseason?
Yeah, I definitely think all of our hard work in the fall and in the winter has contributed to our success so far this season.
Well, speaking of home runs, I know you guys have a mascot in the dugout named Dinger Didi that I guess was a creation of yours from a few years ago. Can you talk about how, you know, that came about and what she does for the team?
Yeah, so my 8th grade season, me and one of my friends wanted to get like a little good luck charm for our team, so we got Dinger Didi, and then we ended up going undefeated that season, and then ever since I brought her with me to like the varsity games, and then we have a little Instagram, so whenever someone hits a home run, we make a post for the person who hit the home run with Didi.
Well, she's been a pretty good luck charm then, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how surprised are you by the amount of home runs that the team has hit this year? Did you expect the home run total to jump up as much as it has?
I definitely thought we would hit some this year just because of all our hard work. And, like, we hit pretty good in the fall, so I think it was kind of surprising this much, but it's been good, yeah.
Well, after you had your fast start, did you notice that if teams started pitching you a little differently or not?
Yeah. I mean, with Jordan behind me, I think I get more pitches than she does just because she hits really good. But, yeah, I think so.
Well, yeah, your lineup is just so deep and talented that it doesn't really have any easy outs. Your leadoff hitter, like we talked about with Coach, Mackenzie James, has 7 home runs, and you typically do hit in that third spot ahead of the 2 freshmen, Jordan and Matty Ott. You know, but teams, they can't afford to pitch around you because they got them behind you, right?
Yeah, that's exactly. I just try and go up and find my pitch and do what I can to help the team.
Well, Sid, we talked with Coach about your team's postseason path. What did you think of your team's regional draw? Do you like your chances to get to state?
Yeah, I think we have a good chance. I think it doesn't really matter at the end of the day who we play, because you got to beat everyone to win it. So,
well, I know Coach has talked before about how motivating your team's loss to Linmar in last year's regional final has been. You know, has that loss kind of stuck with you for the last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think any loss like that is going to stick with anyone, because it's not how you want to end your season. But yeah, I think that'll definitely motivate us, especially with it being my senior year. I think all the seniors and all the underclassmen really want it this year.
Well, Sid, I didn't ask Coach about your team's pitching plans for the postseason, but I'm sure, you know, you have confidence in all the girls, no matter who is out there, and I'm sure we will see a lot of Lauren Sandholm, and she's obviously somebody that you didn't have a year ago. You know, do you think she could be a big difference for this year's team?
Yeah, I think we have confidence in all our pitchers. She definitely helps, whether she's going to get the start or help close it out. She's a really good player, and it's really nice to have her on our team.
Well, as a catcher, nobody has a better view of her pitches than you do. You know, what makes her so good?
I think a lot of it is just her confidence and her dedication, and like you can just tell she has that grit and she wants it, but she's good at hitting her spots, so I think that's helped her out a lot.
All right. Well, of course, this is your last go around, Sid. If you guys are able to make it to state and win the championship, but, you know, what would that mean to you to finish your career in that fashion?
I think that'd be the best possible way to finish my career. It's been a big dream of mine ever since I was little, and especially to do it with all my best friends. It'd mean the world to me.
Well, we talked with Coach about the possibility of several teams from your conference making it to state. You know, if that happens, it's certainly possible that you guys could meet Ankeny or perhaps Northwest in the championship game. You know, how crazy would that be to have the two Ankeny teams meet in the final? Would you be okay with that?
It would definitely be a little stressful, but like I said, at the end of the day, we're going to have to beat someone. So whoever it is, we just got to go out there and play our game, and I think we'll be fine.
Well, I heard a while back that you weren't going to play softball in college. Is that still the plan? Have you had any second thoughts?
I think I'm always going to have part of me that will kind of regret it, just be like, what if? But I want to go into nursing, and I just think that in order to do nursing, I'm going to have to, like, choose one or the other. So.
Sure. Yeah. All right, Sydney, well, thanks a lot for coming in today. Good luck in the postseason.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We're constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in today. We had Ankeny swimmer Owen Schwabach, along with Coldwell Banker realtor Andy Logan, and then from the Ankeny Centennial softball team, we had head coach Brett Delaney and senior catcher Sidney Morris. Appreciate the time from all of those folks. Also, come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.